Think about a pair of glasses for a second. You see them every day, but you really don't think about them, I bet. They're just glass and metal, or glass and plastic. Little pieces of glass stuck on your face that mean everything. Maybe they mean you're smart. Maybe they mean you're rich. But definitely, they mean you can't see without them. Grind the glass this way, put in a slight curve, and you can see far. Change that curve a hair, just a tiny, minuscule difference, and you can see near. Grab the two lenses between your big hands and twist your wrist. Just snap the part over the nose. Now, you can't see anything for the rest of the day. That's how it went for fat Ricardo Manzana. The bell rang for English class, and I'd promised Mr. Harmon I wouldn't be late again. I got up off Ricardo's chubby back, peeled myself off that authentic, autographed blue hockey sweatshirt he wears every day with a stupid hole in it, and I wiped off my big old carpenter pants. Ricardo was pathetic, sprawled on the hall floor, not crying this time, but blinking a lot, and not talking either, like he was in bed that morning and he didn't want to get up and go to school for some reason. That's the bell, Ricardo. Time to get up. Kids were starting to walk around us and look, but they steered plenty clear of me. Mostly, they looked at Ricardo face down on the sick, green, dusty floor next to the overflowing trash can. That's when I noticed the orange peel next to the bright blue can for the first time, close by Ricardo's tangled hair. But I really had to go. Reaching down and helping Ricardo up would be a good idea. Usually, they aren't so quick to narc if you do something nice, something unexpected, just before you walk away. I reached down with my hand thoughtfully, and I smiled, and I pulled Ricardo onto his fat, stupid feet. I kept that smile going while I fogged up both halves of his glasses with my breath and wiped away my thick thumbprints. Just before I sauntered down the empty hall to class, I pressed the part straight into his trembly palm. Mrs. W., is trembly a word, or should I have used trembling? They're not even really glass, you know? Almost never. Glass is easier to break than plastic. But I think it would be mean to crack the lenses. I guess we'll always call them glasses anyway. I ran down the... Tuesday, October 19th. Call me Todd. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. That's the first line from Moby Dick, all right? I always wanted to start a book like that. This is my first book, and I'm writing it for one reason only. Not for history and not for scientific research, and definitely not to let out my inner demons. I'm doing it so I don't have to pick up trash in the school courtyard like certain deviant so-called friends of mine who also got caught. I am being reformed. The story begins with me, your humble narrator, alone and stranded after school in a study hall the exact same color as puke. I'm a prisoner, caught in the fluorescent searchlights, looking pale green while I smudge blue ink in a black and white marble composition book. The floor is the same sad green as my pants, but my pants are a lot cleaner. My white pad of paper looks a little green, too. When I looked up and asked you, "What do you want me to write about?" You said, "About anything." "About anything? Okay. Fine with me. You asked for it." "I'll write about this desk." I hate this desk. It's nothing but a slab of plastic connected to my chair by a flimsy metal rod. Did you know that if you're strong enough, you can twist the desk part up and around until it looks like an arm shrugging? Somebody has been doing that all over school. You know, if you put a lefty desk and a righty desk next to each other the right way, the desks really seem like they're saying, "I don't care." They look about as bored and uninterested as the rest of us.
Todd, do you really believe your feelings apply to every student?
So you're going to write in my notebook?
When I feel the need.